Resources to order. We'll open the public hearing and the grant proposal and ask Grant Higgins to come forward and others that he's got with him.
Chair Fisher, members of the committee, for the record, my name is Dr. Grant Higginson. I'm the State Health Officer and Deputy Administrator for the Oregon Health Division, and I'm here today to ask your permission to apply for a Reducing the Burden of Asthma grant. This is a grant that's being led by the Centers for Disease Control, and it is available to state health agencies. I'm sure that all of you know what asthma is, and most of the time it is a disease that when triggered is characterized by wheezing that is usually treatable with inhalers. However, a couple things that you should know. One is that it can be a very serious and even life-threatening disease. In fact, CDC estimates that over $6 billion each year is spent on asthma, and primarily that's due to treating severe attacks of asthma in emergency departments, and sometimes those severe attacks do cause death. The other thing that I think is very important to recognize is that for the last 15 years anyway, we have been in the middle of an ever increasing epidemic of asthma. It is now one of the leading chronic diseases in the United States, and it is the leading chronic disease in our children. And why this is increasing is something that really is not very well understood. The grant that we are applying for is $200,000 a year for the next 3 years, and it would allow us to do three things. One, it would have us set up an advisory committee that would include a number of the key players, the key stakeholders in the area of asthma. So this would be not only the health division, but the Department of Environmental Quality, the Governor's Racial and Ethnic Health Task Force, the Office of Medical Assistance Programs, and of course our partners in the medical community, the Medical Association, Pediatric Society, insurers, health maintenance organizations, etc. And this is actually one of those areas where insurers and health systems people have actually been coming to us saying, what can we do to work together to get something going, because asthma is a concern of theirs as well. One thing that this advisory group would do is to come up with a plan to address prevention and treatment of asthma across the state. That would be one of the primary functions of this advisory group. The second thing that the grant would allow us to do is to conduct better surveillance of the issue of asthma in the state of Oregon. As I mentioned, the reason that we're having this increasing problem is not well understood, and we would set up a surveillance system that would allow us to better track the prevalence of asthma, the risk factors for asthma, what is being done in the way of treatment, and what seems to be effective. And then the third thing that we would be doing in this grant is to actually be setting up some clinical guidelines for the treatment of asthma. And this would be similar to what we have done with diabetes mellitus. 10 years ago with diabetes, there really were not good standards across the board for not so much treatment, but the ongoing evaluation of the effectiveness of treatment. And in working with OMAP, with hospitals and medical providers, we were able to develop guidelines which we believe have truly improved the care and ongoing treatment of diabetes patients, and that's the kind of model that we would use here as well. Again, pull together a group of experts from the Medical Association, Pediatric Society, from hospitals and insurers to come up with clinical guidelines, and then try to get those clinical guidelines distributed widely across the state and evaluate to see whether or not those guidelines are being used and whether they're being effective. So that's basically what we would be doing with this grant. As I said, it's $200,000. We learned about per year for the next 3 years. It basically buys three positions: a project coordinator who would manage the overall workings of the grant, an epidemiologist who would be responsible for the surveillance and evaluation components, and then support staff. And if you give us permission, we will submit the application on July 16th of this summer, and we would expect to hear sometime in the fall whether or not we were successful. Thank you, and be happy to answer any questions.
Questions?
Sounds good.
Ready to go to work session?
Yeah.
Anyone else wish to give further testimony? Hearing none. I'll close the public hearing and open the work session on grant request.
Mr. Chair, I would move that we. Mr. Chair, I move that we would provide a permission for the Health Division to apply for the federal grant from the Federal Centers for Disease Control and Prevention for the a grant to address the problem of reducing the burden of asthma.
The Representative Ross has moved that we allow the Department of Human Resources Health Division request to apply for the Reducing the Burden of Asthma grant to be made available through the Federal Center for Disease Control. And that we send it on to the full committee with a due pass recommendation. Further discussion? Yes,
I have a question for Dr. Higgins. I just want to know, is there a federal requirement that you make an annual report regarding your progress and your findings and your recommendations?
Senator Fisher, Senator Yee, I don't believe that there is a requirement in the grant that we would do that, but that is something that we do with all of our grants, and so would be doing that. And, of course, we'd report back to the next legislative session how we were doing.
Mm-hmm. So would this be a, Mr. Chairman, would this be an annual report to the legislature?
Senator Fisher and Senator Yee, yes, we would be coming up with an annual report of the grant activities.
I think that would be important for us to know what's happening.
Any further discussion? Objections? Mm-hmm. Hearing none, will clerk call the roll?
Aye.
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 Aye. The motion carries. We will close the work session on the grant request and open the work session on Senate Bill 611. Oh, I'm sorry.
You have to carry it.
Representative Ross will be the carrier on the grant request always me. Now, does that have to also then go on to the
No, it's
okay. Okay. Yeah, I'll open a work session on Senate Bill 611. I'm going to have to wait a little bit on that one.
That's
a wait. Yeah, somebody wants to see me. Okay, we're getting a few handouts here. Since I would ask you to come up, I think we'll have some questions to ask from whoever is representing today. I understand one of your important people has a more important job at the moment. I'm very happy to fill in as a chair, but I will not go volunteer to the place to this. Or do I not even want me to? We'll have these distributed momentarily here.
He has a lady in labor at this moment. She sent letters and said,
"Oh, okay." Add one here. I think I get handed it over to Barbara. So we do have a. Oh, okay. Is this the only amendment?
I have another, Senator Fisher, Chair Fisher, I have another amendment coming that deals with the sunset clause that they were, I just gave it to them this morning, so it would be at least this afternoon or tomorrow before I could get it.
Okay, so we're not going to really be able to vote on this today.
Yes, you could go ahead and do that, and then I can go ahead and have it drafted.
So they'll allow us to,
sunset clause is boilerplate enough that you can just go ahead and do it conceptually.
Okay, have you had a chance to look over this amendment that allows you to send the, no, this is a different one there. 611A5 amendment.
Mm-hmm.
It allows you to basically spend up to $108,767 in the biennium beginning July 1, 1999 of other funds that you've gotten from fees, monies, or revenues, including miscellaneous receipts, but excluding lottery funds and federal funds. So it would allow you to go out and raise your money then be able to spend it that way. And I understand that that would be used then to extend your budget, and that gives you quite a wide latitude of money to be able to raise on that.
Okay.
I'm going to let you explain this a little bit.
Okay. what you have, what I've passed out to you, there are four sheets. First of all, there are two letters from Daphne Staintree, who is the chair of the board, and who, like I said, was unable to come today because she does have a lady in labor. And then you have two more sheets. One is an amendment that deals with this particular budget. The direct entry midwifery normally would have been in 5026, House Bill 5026, which is the budget bill for the health-related licensing board. Since they were going to sunset this year, that budget was not submitted. And so if the committee chooses to pass this bill forward, it will need an expenditure limitation. Otherwise, they have no budget. And so that's the amendment that you have here. The memorandum that I've given you, those are recommendations that I'm bringing forward to the committee from LFO, which deals with various budget notes, the amendment 2611 for the expenditure limitation, and also the sunset clause that Chair Fisher had mentioned earlier that I do have at Legislative Council at this point, that would sunset this December 31st, 2001. If on the budget notes, there were several issues that came up last time in the public hearing that dealt with the cash flow, with the amount of revenue they were going to bring in, and what happens if the money doesn't come and the expenditures exceed the revenues. And so some of the budget notes that I put together, first of all, A in there deals with the Board of Direct Entry Midwifery administrative costs. They should be funded solely using fees and donations specified in the Bill 611. And because right now what's happening is that we have exceeded really the expenditures in the administrative costs, and they have been subsidized. And the committee may choose to do is direct them not to subsidize them out of other budgets, because those are also dedicated funds from other licensing functions. And so that's A, really directing them to fund their own administrative costs. B deals with coming to the emergency board concerning their financial status no later than March year 2000. So the legislature can be assured that they are progressing financially and that they it appears that they will be able to fund themselves throughout the biennium. The other issue deals with, in these particular licensing boards where you have revenues coming in at various times and you have expenditures, it's extremely important to do a cash flow and then project out whether, you know, you have revenues that are going to meet the expenditure needs. And so LFO would suggest that they prepare a projected revenue and expenditure flow and then update that monthly when they have actual figures come in, and so then they can project it. If it gets to the point where it appears that the expenditures are going to exceed the revenues, then I would say, and projected out 90 to 120 days, that appears that they're going to run out of money, basically, then what the committee may choose to do is have them start really ratcheting down, pay the debts that they have on the books at that point, and work with the Department of Administrative Services to cease operations. Because they do need to be self-funding. And what would happen if we got up to the, you know, if we did not do this preparation ahead of time, we would be up to the point like we are in this particular biennium where we have debt remaining and we have no funds to pay for it. And since this is an other-funded licensing board, then I don't think that they, and it's up to the legislature whether they would want to fund it with general fund at that point. But this way, at least we have time to work through that particular issue. On D, it was from testimony provided the last time, there the board indicated that there were monies being donated to help support the board's activities. And I did check further into this, and it appears that since they are requesting funds, donations on behalf of the board, there really is a process that they should be doing. They should be depositing that money in a treasury account, since that particular board is a, you know, a state agency, and that there are, you know, certain standards and practices to be doing that, because you shouldn't be asking for donations on the board's behalf without the board getting that money. And the other thing too, on this particular issue, I had talked to Susan Wilson, and you have to recall that they're basically out of money now. Their renewal period is in December of 1999. For the first 6 months of the biennium, they basically, at this point, have no money to operate. If they have donations that are sitting out there, the board may need that to operate that first 6 months before the renewal period comes in. And we've been working on, you know, looking at a very bare-bones, you know, cash flow for the first 6 months to see what is the minimum that they could get by with until this renewal period comes about. And so, Sue, I mean, hopefully any minute now we should have somebody walking in with that. But that's what we've been looking at, because you have to be able to fund them, or they have to basically cease operations because they have no money to fund them. And so the donations are extremely important. Once we have an idea of what the expenditure figures are, then hopefully the donations can cover that for the 6 months. Otherwise, they have no money. The E on here deals with, I had talked to Senator Fisher earlier, and we were kind of exploring the cash flow in general and the fact that all of their renewals come in December of every year. And sometimes with boards, that can cause a very tricky cash flow, especially towards the end of that period. And so at least it may be beneficial to look at what happens if you start staggering those renewals and maybe prorate some so the money comes in earlier now and then you get them on a year cycle, but it's at a different time other than December. And all this budget note, all it really indicates is that we need, you know, we would take a look at it within the first, by the end of September to see if that makes more sense. And so that kind of is a summary of the budget notes that LFO is recommending.
And you have a potential amendment here, the A5 amendment.
Yes, that is the one that you have in hand, mm-hmm. That is for the expenditure limitation side of them.
And then we have one in concept that in the building through the sunset clause December 31, 2001.
Yes, correct.
The A6.
Yeah.
Yes.
And that would allow us to get through another legislative session and give you some running room and allow for a proper audit process of whatever you needed to do in order to work. Yes.
I have a question. When I saw this bill, I certainly would like for their program to continue. I was amazed at this cost of $2,000. And for licensing, so I
in spite of the information I've had that indicated that the licensees have approved this themselves and are willing to pay it, I responded to a call from a lady in Southern Oregon, a midwife, and she explained that they are willing to do this because they want to have their operations continue, but she mentioned some litigation that they were paying off, and that's why they've had to increase their fees. Now, it sounds as if, and that this would be the only way to meet it. Well, would they still be able to pay that off plus operate?
The particular case that you're talking about, right now, state, there's about $16,000 worth of debt in there, and that is figured in the $108,000 that is in there.
That they are sure.
So I have to make the committee aware there are at least two other cases, and possibly a third one, that that are on, you know, on record, and they have not processed those cases yet, and that is not. We did up the attorney general and the professional services amount in the fiscal impact statement to help cover some of that of those other cases that were coming about, because we didn't feel that the amounts were correct.
Mr. Chairman,
yes.
I want to know how many memberships do we have now to support the board expenses?
I believe about 39.
36.
Yeah. 36.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Follow-up question. So they had about 54, and now it's declined to 36. So my question is, it seems to me that they need to have reimbursement from OMAP, Oregon Medical Health Plan, in order to increase their membership and support the board. Since Mr. Hirsch Crawford is in the audience, I would like to ask Mr. Crawford a question about why Oregon Health Plan does not reimburse the midwives for their services, and what does it take to so that they will reimburse the midwives. After all, I think they're doing a very good service to the people who select their service, and I want him to let us know why is it they don't reimburse the midwives.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. For the record, I'm Hirsch Crawford, Director of the Office of Medical Assistance Programs. Like many things, this is not completely a simple question to answer, but I think it's important to understand that some of the women who are covered by the Oregon Health Plan are enrolled with managed health care plans, and others are in what we call fee-for-service, which means that their care is paid for directly by OMAP. We pay for about 16,000 births a year to people who are covered by the Oregon Health Plan, and about 4,000 of those births are to women who are in fee-for-service. Now, for women who are in fee-for-service, they can receive services from direct entry midwives as long as the midwife is licensed, and we will make payment to the midwife directly from OMAP, and we pay them at the same rate as we pay physicians. I think the issue that Senator Yee is referring to is that direct entry midwives at this point do not have access to pregnant women who are enrolled in managed health care plans. And the biggest impediment to that is that plans are, at this point, not willing to include direct entry midwives on their panels. And probably the biggest reason that they're not willing to include them on their panels is because they don't have malpractice insurance. And so that seems to be one of the biggest impediments at this point. Plans, when we talk with them, insist that all of their providers meet the same credentialing requirements, and probably one of the most significant barriers to direct entry midwives is the fact that they don't have malpractice insurance.
Mr. Chairman.
Yes,
I would like to ask Mr. Crawford a question. Do we have insurance companies in Oregon that will provide malpractice insurance for the midwives?
Mr. Chair, Senator Yee, to the best of my knowledge, we do not. I believe that in Washington State, there's an insurance plan that's been put together, I think with the assistance of the state of Washington, that does provide insurance to direct entry midwives, but I do not believe it is available in Oregon.
I have a couple more questions. So, do you know what does it cost to provide malpractice insurance to the Washington midwife?
Mr. Chair, Senator Yee, I believe the charges in Washington State are $2,400 a year for up to 24 births, and then they charge $100 per birth in excess of 24.
Do you know if Washington State Insurance Company will cover Oregon midwives if they are interested?
Mr. Chair, Senator Yee, I don't know the answer to that. We could call them and try and find out.
Could you find out for us whether they are interested in providing malpractice insurance and what it would cost for the Oregon midwives? Would appreciate the information as soon as possible.
Okay.
And will you provide the information to the state so that all members will have a copy?
Yes, I will.
Thank you. Further questions? Did you? I'm interested to see how you, now that you had a chance to read these over.
Senator Fisher, members of the committee, we do, you know, we approve of these. I think the only concern we have is.
Your name for the
record. I'm sorry. My name is Holly Phyllis. And looking at the memo, these sound like good ways to protect, you know, our fiscal situation. The only little concern we might have is that keeping administrative costs down, preparing a monthly statement, when I suspect there won't be huge changes month to month, but I assume that's something that as necessary situation, if there's been no change, money won't be spent.
Mm.
So we're very thrifty.
I think we can put on record that we would recommend that you don't hold board meetings every month.
There you go.
Maybe some other things that would keep the cost down.
Okay.
And would have the office staff develop a minimal operating budget to tide you over and do everything that you can to help that situation also. And I don't have any problem at all putting that on record that the committee would expect that from your board.
Of course. Mm. Very thrifty too.
Yeah, we understand that and appreciate that very much. And again, I'd like to say all your members that have shown up again, and they've sat here very quietly while we tried to collect our members and have been here again at their expense, and we appreciate that support that you give us here as committee members, and we'll do our level best to help out any way we can and to carry this thing through. Yes.
Mr. Chair, you ready for a motion?
I am. We need to do about two things. We've got an amendment that we need to get in.
We've
got a budget notes that we need to get in, and also an amendment that's not here that we need to get in.
Okay. Well, Mr. Chair, first of all, I would move approval of the budget notes as recommended by LFO. Move recommend approval of the budget notes as recommended by LFO.
All right. As soon as we can get the co-chairs.
Subject to the co-chair's approval.
Representative Ross has moved the budget notes subject to co-chair approval. Further discussion?
Mr. Chairman, yes. I wanted to just a quick springboard back to where the question Senator Yee was asking. In business or whether it's a county fair or no matter what it is, the issue is if you do not set up the proper mechanism, you can make sure that somebody will be unsuccessful, or you can somewhat guarantee that they will be successful. And I'm really concerned, as I believe Senator Yee was leading us in that, to the idea that there's probably some things that we could do to be more enabling here,
mm-hmm.
to make sure that this service is available, and particularly some of the rural areas where, you know, we're losing doctors right and left, and this may become a major problem in the future. And I hope that we're being a bit prospective to say this is something that we want to encourage, and maybe we need to be looking at those ideas. And that was my first thought, was the idea of malpractice insurance and being able to get them qualified where they can access some of the dollars that are available for payment for these births. And so I sure hope that now that we have that on the record, that it's an indication to this committee that, that we want to see this encouraged and enable them to be successful.
Further discussion? Is anybody opposed?
I just want to say under discussion that the malpractice insurance of $2,400 a year sounds pretty high, but on the other hand, if enough people who want to join the malpractice insurance, maybe they can lower the premium. I mean, but they need to get the information first before they can do anything about lowering the cost. So I just want to say I support the midwife service. I think it's a very very good alternative, and we want to help them increase membership and continue the licensing for them.
Anyone opposed to the accepting the budget notes? Let the record show that no one is opposed to that. The motion carries.
Okay, well, Mr. Chair, I would move the A5 amendment.
Representative Ross moves the A5 amendments, Senate Bill 611. Further discussion? Anyone opposed? Hearing no opposition, it's so ordered.
Okay, and Mr. Chair, I would move that we accept an amendment that includes sunset clause of December 1st, 2001.
I believe that's 31st.
Excuse me, December 31st, 2001, sorry.
Representative Ross wishes to move an amendment that is pending, which would include a sunset clause of December 31, 2001.
It's already included in the budget motion, but
we're having an amendment coming.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Yeah, this is okay. Further discussion? Any objection? Any no votes? Hearing none, so ordered.
Okay, Mr. Chair, I would move the adoption of Senate Bill 611 with the amendments as previously moved to the full committee with the past recommendation.
Okay. Representative Ross moves that we send Senate Bill 611 to the full committee with a due pass recommendation as it, Senate Bill 611 has been amended and the list of budget notes that we have passed in committee. For further discussion? Hearing none, will the clerk call the roll?
Aye.
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 Aye. The motion passes and is carried. Do you have a carrier for the House? I guess we'll go to the full committee first.
I'm sorry.
Okay. If you want to carry it to the full committee and in the House,
yeah, we've got a few more days.
Okay, Senator, you will carry it on the Senate floor. And we have no further business. The work session on Senate Bill 611, and we are adjourned.